Oh, this first hour of Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University.
It's a calling, a strange compulsion that makes us leave our homes, taking music on the road. We can't deny it, though we sometimes try it. It always haunts us if we hesitate to go. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May your wheels always turn and may the sunlight of your day. Good road, good road, I'm wishing you a good road. May you find your comfort in friends along the way.
Oh, indeed, indeed, indeed. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another edition of Inland Folk. A couple of short announcements. I'm Dan Marr, by the way. Always have been, always will be. Looking good, looking good. All you folks listening on Northwest Public Radio, thanks so much. We did that goal thing, at 2,000 pledges. Got it done by 5:30 on Thursday, a week ago. And so that all worked. Those of you on the weekend, though, you know, to shape up. I'm just telling you right now. And get that all squared away, because if not, we'll have to do maybe a weekend pledge drive day. We wouldn't want to do that, would we? Uh-oh. All right, that's one thing. Second thing, a lot of cool stuff going on all around, but I want to mention something really cool, because I like local stuff. I like local stuff a lot. I like local dances and all those kinds of things. There's a sing-along in Moscow at the Unitarian Church, a Pete Seeger sing-along. Probably starts around 7 o'clock. On tonight, the 5th of April, and I just think that would be really awesome. I think they should do something like that in Spokane, too. I think they should do something like that in the... They have a sing-along thing at Mickey Perry's house every first Friday, and that's going on. But I really think a tribute to Pete Seeger would be nice for everybody, I think. That's what I think. So, that's happening at the Unitarian Church in Moscow. Alrighty. Okay, just those quick announcements, because there's somebody else who talks a lot of a blue streak, better than I do, and we can't, this is an album that was released posthumously. It's called Free Speech, and How to Make a Speech, Utah Phillips, and it's all about free speech, and he's going to start out with Railroading on the Great Divide.
There comes a time when the operation of the machine is so odious that you cannot even tacitly participate. You've got to place your body on the gears, the levers, all the apparatus. And you've got to indicate to those who own it and those who run it that unless you are free, the machine will be prevented from working at all. Mario Savio. This conference we're going to be having tomorrow is going to be about free speech, and especially as regards to people's airwaves. And there'll be a rally to that effect for Pacifica over there in Martin Luther King Park at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday. And Lori Lewis will be there and Holly Neer, and I'll show up before I go back up home. So make sure that you're there. I'm gonna be over at the Berkeley Free Folk Festival tomorrow, so I won't be able to be here for the discussions of free speech, but then I don't know what I have to say about that. Well, I guess I'll just do some. Railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. Railroading on the Great Divide. I'm a Unitarian. I've been a Unitarian for almost 44 years. Started out in Salt Lake. I think I'm a Unitarian. How do you know if you're Unitarian, for Christ's sake? I mean, there's no psychic scars as with the Baltimore Catechism. No identifying marks like with Jewish males. Maybe if you drink a lot of coffee and know how to run a mimeograph, you're Unitarian. I don't know. I worked for the UUA in Salt Lake. I ran the Boy Scout troop, which was thrown out of the Boy Scouts because they named themselves the Red Guards, and the BSA couldn't handle that. So it was a healthy move, though. In the religious education program for the Unitarians, I taught Unitarian non-competitive games, like a Committee of the Mountain, where you just sit on the rock and discuss how you're going to share power until the wine and the brie run out. Wow. And I love being Unitarian. I belong to Unitarian Community of the Mountains. We started one up in the foothills of the Sierra. And there's only about 30 of us. And we rented a mortuary that went out of business because it already had a chapel. It's got a kitchen and meeting rooms. The only thing we had to take out was the embalming table. But I thought it'd be good for slice some vegetables. Hell no, they wouldn't do it. I wrote liberal, during the 1960s, I wrote liberal folk songs for the Unitarian hymnals. They're asked to from Boston. Liberal folk songs like, I'm going down the road feeling, I'm going down the road feeling, I'm going down the road feeling, well, you know, I probably shouldn't be treated this way. And then I wrote for him, we would rather not be moved. You know, like that. So, and I wrote, which side am I on? Which side am I on? Yes, it's a appropriate sort of sentiment. Yeah, it's, of course, Utah's a very conservative state. I finally got run out of Utah for... the damn Unitarians burned a question mark on my front lawn. Where was I? This is a folk song, an American folk song. Did you recognize it as such? Don't hear them much anymore, do you? Don't hear them on your AM radio, huh? Folk singers hardly ever sing them. That's because they're boring. Folk music is boring. Whack, fall the dido, blow ye winds, hi-ho, hell, that's boring. But I am a folk singer. This is a program of folk music, and you are ostensibly the folk, Nespa. That means we own this song together, right? Yes. We have thereby inherited certain social obligations that we will faithfully discharge, right? Yes. We're going to sing this song together, boring or not. Got it? Now, we know who you are. Those of you who do not sing, I will see to it personally that a Mormon missionary is sent to each of your homes. And I don't want to have to remind you again that in a mass marketing culture, a revolutionary song is any song you choose to sing yourself. Welcome to the revolution. Railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you'll find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide, huh? Hey, railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. I live up in Nevada City. Have you been to Nevada City? Why? Place ain't exactly nowhere, but you can see it from there. Nevada City, one of the old gold mining towns. God help us all. We were so much better off with the minerals still in the ground, you know. And they've been asking me to participate in these celebrations of the sesquicentennial of the gold rush. And I say, that was an act of genocidal madness and an ecological catastrophe. Include me out. God, they make me mad.
You got to be able to tell that they won't let you got. I said, you let me tell the truth about this. They said, well, I'm afraid not. So in 1914, it started to roam out through Wyoming, no money, no home. And I was drifting along with the tide, landed out over the Great Divide. Railroading on the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. It is a wonderful thing to come down the mountain and spend time with you folks. I don't get to travel around much anymore. It's the congestive heart failure that knocked me out of touring, you see. But I've been taking care of myself, the cardiac rehabilitation exercise class. I was there this morning before I came down. Appropriate diet, meditation, and wow, it's just, you know, I've given myself one thing a month to do away from town, and this is it. And it feels good. It feels really good. Oh. And I don't want any damn cockamamie advice about what to do about congestive heart failure or anything. I don't want no information on colloidal suspension of silver or any damn things. I come from Nevada City is the new age chronosynclastic infundibulum of the new world. There's so many healers there, it makes me sick. I am up to my eyeballs with that jive, man. I really am. I've got a Zen acupuncturist, wears a blindfold, uses darts. Got me. I'm moving. It's good. Yeah. There's a people in town, they want to suspend me in a tank of water in absolute blackness. That's called sensory deprivation. Want to charge me $100, said, hell, I listen to Leonard Cohen records, get the same thing for nothing. That's it. Now we're hedging our bets, though. My wife and I, Joanna, we've invested in a timeshare mausoleum. What an idea. No, it really is an interesting town. Our little Catholic church, their little old wooden Catholic church back from the days of the 49ers, New Age Catholic Church, the only Catholic church in the country that has high-fiber, low-calorie communion wafers. They're called I Can't Believe It's Not Jesus. Stick your head out the window and see how it feels. Number nines are coming the fastest on wheels. At 90 an hour, she whistles with pride, thunders out over the Great Divide. I railroad along the Great Divide, nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by, railroading on the Great Divide. I was first introduced to the concept of free speech by my mother, who worked for the CIO. My father was a communist. And then also by my elders. They steered me toward my elders, mainly born in the last century, mostly in the labor movement, you know, a wobbly socialist, communist, in the habit of speaking and saying outrageous things in public that would sometimes get them sent to jail. But the soapboxers particularly, it's the ones who went from corner to corner on the soapboxes and got chased around by the cops a lot, who are exemplars of freedom of speech. Old Frank Cedarvall from Oberlin, Ohio, he's long gone now, but he was a good teacher to me. Now, there was a soapboxer. He was an organizer for the Industrial Workers of the World, the Wobblies, union I belong to now for, 42 years? Got a table out there in the hall, and I'm glad to see him here. Frank Cedarvall, he said we'd set up a soapbox downtown. And you know that once you stood up there and started a windmill, he called it windmilling, that somebody's going to call the cops. So as soon as you heard the siren or got a hint that the cops were showing up, you'd shut down, pick up your box, and run like hell through the alleys until you came to another street corner, and you'd set it up again and start all over. And so the cops, you dodge cops all over town. This is in Cleveland, Ohio. But he said you had to get everything out fast.
had to get it out real quick because he had a lot to say in a real short time before they chased you away. So it was kind of like a machine gun. Sound like he said, fellow workers, the industrial workers, the world's organized, the entire working class. What is the working class, fellow workers? By the working class, it's anybody that works for wages and has a boss. You got a boss, you're working for wages, you're in the working class, you better be proud of it. By the middle class, it's just a joke made up by the boss to keep us fighting against one another. Now, the industrial workers, the world's organized, the working class into one big union. We have all skilled, semi-skilled, unskilled workers, the one big union, the OBU. We got the OBU, we'll have a general strike. Strike like that will last about half an hour. Then we'll take this thing apart and put it together so it makes more sense. With the means of production in the hands of the producers, produce for use instead of profit, create abundance for workers and nothing for parasites. Thank you. He was pure hell. Ask any old timer around old Cheyenne, railroad in Wyoming is the rest in the land. A long steel rail and a short cross tie laid out over the great divide. I railroading on the Great Divide. Nothing around me but the Rockies and sky. It's there you find me as years go by. Railroading on the Great Divide.
Oh, the great Utah Phillips. Excuse me just for one second. Had to clear my throat. The late, great Utah Phillips, who died in, I'm just trying to remember, I believe it was 2008 that he left us, and it was because of heart failure. Utah Phillips, probably the last of the major champions of the working people of all ages and the major champions of folk history and you know, the complete. And in spite of, he had shortcomings, few, just like we all do. And in spite of all that, he did it for many, 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 many years. And left two sons, at least, that are doing musical stuff, kind of in his tradition. But Utah Phillips was a self-made man, a Renaissance man. He did all kinds of things, lived his own life, lived his own way. And what can you say? For so many years, came out here, lived in Spokane, you know. He lived up there someplace, I think on the north side, and for quite a few years, and then moved down to Nevada City. But he'd, of course, come from Utah, worked with Eamon Hennessy, worked in the pacifist movement, worked in, and had to deal with a lot of anger management and things that he was very open about. But he knew he would go in and scout out of town. He'd do a gig in a town, and he'd look for all the old-timers, and he'd look in the history, and he'd go to the libraries and look up each town that he was working, you know, in, and so he would know the history, and he would know. But it would be the workers' history. It wouldn't be the corporate history. The corporate history was only valuable if it affected the workers, which, of course, happens a lot. And he did that. Utah Phillips, what can you say? He knew a lot about Woody, knew a lot about Pete Seeger. He was part of that whole thing, and he... He is really something. A posthumously released album from Utah Phillips, and there's a lot of material like that on the album. It's quite a nice album. It's actually one of Utah's best albums, I think. All righty. Here's another fellow that does good tributes to good folks, and he does a nice job with Woody. He's a Woody nut, is old Joe Raphael. So how about Mrs. Roosevelt? Okay.
Mrs. Roosevelt, don't hang your head and cry. His mortal flesh is laid away, but his good work fills the sky. This world was lucky to see him walk. Now he went up to the great school, and he wrote back to his folks. Such funny pictures, and he was always pulling jokes. This this world was lucky to see him walk. Well, he went up to Harvard to read his books of law. He loved his trees and horses, he loved everything he saw. This world was lucky to see him walk. He got struck down by the fever, and it settled in his legs. He loved the folks that wished him well, as everybody did. This world was lucky to see him walk. He took office on a crippled leg, and he said to one and all, "You money-changing racket boys, I surely got too far. This world was lucky to see him walk. Well, I voted for him lots of times, and I'd vote for him again. He tried to find an honest job for every idle man. This world was lucky to see him walk. Well, he helped me to build my union, and he learned me how to talk. I could see he was a cripple, but he learned my soul to walk. This world was lucky to see him walk. I was a GI in the Army the day he passed away, and over my shoulder I could hear some soldiers say, this world was lucky to see him walk. Well, I know this world was lucky just to see him walk. Well, I know this world was lucky just to see him walk. This world was lucky to see him walk. Called Ofusky, had a little girl in a holler tree. I said, little girl, it's plain to see that there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. She said, it's hard for me to see how one little boy got so ugly. I said, little girlie, that might be, but there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. No, there ain't nobody that can sing like me. We walked down by the Buckeye Creek to watch the frog eat the goggle-eyed bee. Listen to the west wind whistle to the east. And there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. I said, little girl, won't you let me see way over yonder where the wind blows free. Ain't nobody can see in a holler tree. And there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. No, there ain't nobody that can sing like me. Sing like me, ain't nobody that can sing like me. Now I have walked a long, long ways, but I still go back to my Tanglewood days. I led a lot of girls since then astray, saying ain't nobody that can sing like me, ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. Way over yonder in the minor key. Way over yonder in the minor key. There ain't nobody that can sing like me. No, there ain't nobody that can sing like me.
Oh, Woody. Woody, Woody, Woody. That's almost politically incorrect nowadays, dude. Good song, though. The minor key is it was a district down in someplace in Oklahoma, in Ofuski, and in that, around that area where he was raised, the minor key was down on the other side of the tracks. But it makes for a really symbolic thing, metaphorical thing, if it comes to music, the minor key way down yonder in the minor key. But the minor key actually was a district where folks lived, generally rural folk. And before that, Ms. Roosevelt and his tribute to Franklin Roosevelt. Some of this stuff is a little bit, of course, people who are with disabilities, like I'm visually impaired, I'm totally blind, and I don't mind the term blind. You know, there are some people who would say, oh, he used that term crippled way too much. Oftentimes the people who are of those disabilities, it's all about, it's just a word. It's how people treat the disability, isn't it? It's not about words, it's about actions, oftentimes. All righty. That's pretty interesting. Woody Guthrie, Joe Raphael, we're going to hear a couple of more from him. And in fact, I think we'll hear one more from him after the break. From the albums, the songs of Woody Guthrie, Joe Raphael, both Volumes 1 and Volume 2. And you can buy them now as kind of a boxed set. They are separate within this set, but that's what it is. Okay, we have to take a little bit of a break, don't we? Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Marner. We're going to be right back for lots, lots, lots more stuff. You just need to hold your horses because we are coming back. Thanks for pledging, all of you who pledged on both stations. Yes, indeed. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Bring all my history pages, bring all my wits and sages, back down from the glacial ages, dance around my atom fire. Bring all my blood relations, bring all my worried nations, back down through my civilizations, dance around my atom fire. Dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire. I'll bring my sons and daughters, I'll bring my heavy waters, titanium, uranium, dance around my atom fire. Bring all my lads and lasses, nitro and blister gases, brotherhood or a world of ashes, dance around my atom fire. Dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire. Brightest of eyes and faces, down out of my history places, all of my humanly races, dance around my atom fire. Warfare is not the settlement, bloodshed is not the element, shake hands and work together, dance around my atom fire. Dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire. Dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire, dance around my atom fire.
Doesn't change much, does it? By the way, I would appreciate it if you wouldn't use those flash cameras because they scare me, and I mean that. But they remind me, see, I was a soldier over in Korea, and I just flash on muzzle flashes. You know, so what I mean is that I know they're flash cameras, but all my alarms go off, and I don't have any control over that. Same with loud noises, you know, that just frighten me, which is why these little compressed air door closers on all the doors in my house, because it sounds like gunshots. So please don't do that, all right? Well, where was I? Oh, I was talking about free speech and the labor movement. I think that what I'll do is I'll just tell you some of those stories of those elders and let them speak for themselves. And they always did speak for themselves vociferously and eloquently. They were in command of language. Most of my great teachers, they couldn't read or write. You know, like Jack Miller out in Seattle, Washington, who was on the Verona during the free speech fight up in Everett in 1916. They were passionate people who lived in their emotions and were comfortable there and made commitments to struggle in their emotional lives that carried them through 50, 60 years. And Frank Miller said, you know, you show me people who make the same commitments intellectually, and I don't know where they'll be next week. That's pretty hard to take, isn't it? Well, he was harder than that. He said, when armed only with our sense of degradation as human beings, we couldn't read, we couldn't write, we spoke 14 different languages. Armed only with that sense of degradation, we came together and organized and changed the condition of our lives. And then he said, you young people today, with all you've got, why can't you do the same thing? That's worth a ponder, isn't it? It's worth a ponder. Once you answer the question, why you don't do that, well, you've learned a whole lot. Learning a whole lot, well, there was old A.L. Art Nurse up there in Missoula, Montana. Now, Art
was another Wobbly organizer, worked on the docks in Houston. 20 years on the open sea, merchant marine, and then 21 years longshore. Worked hard all of his life, always carried his union card. Finally retired, righteously old, up there to Missoula, up to Thompson Falls, Montana, a little cabin owned by his kin. In his mid-80s, Art Nurse came down to Spokane, and he opened an office of his union, the IWW, with a membership of 40 and a, by God, 800 number. An IWW office with an 800 number? Unheard of. He became a great teacher. I'd go over there, I'd boom over on the Billy Goat, the Burlington Northern freight trains, and on the low line. We would walk those tracks together, the old NP tracks. Well, he'd use those as a commuter freight when he was working in the mines over in Butte and in the timber harvest. Now, all that's been bought up by Denny Washington, a millionaire construction operator in Montana, and he's running it as a non-union road. And Art Nurse would walk along there looking down and say, look at that, there's spikes here 4 inches above the ties. Why, this is an unsafe railroad because it's being run non-union. It's all cheap labor. He said that the welfare department in that county was suing Denny Washington to make up the welfare payments that they had to give the tramps who were afraid to ride his trains out of town. Art Nurse was a sage and a true Wobbly. I mean, you know what I mean? Industrial Workers of the World, IWW Wobblies. He was a true Wobbly. Now, if you've ever wondered what a true Wobbly is, I'll tell you. Once and for all, it was during an election. Art Nurse is coming down out of the Moose Lodge where he got his morning drink, take the corner against the wind on his heel. One of Missoula's morning drunks, they got morning drunks in Missoula. One of the morning drunks reeled out of Charlie's bar, crossed Higgins Avenue, up to old Art Nurse, put a loaded revolver to his head, said, you gonna vote Republican or Democrat? Art Nurse said, shoot me. That's a Wobbly. No, I don't.
I'll tell you, I'll sing you Art Nurse's favorite song.
Again, it's one of those things where Art said, you sing that song wherever you go. I said, Art, sometimes you get in serious trouble singing that song. He said, it doesn't matter, it's good trouble. One of the things that goes with free speech, isn't it, is buying good trouble. But he said, yeah, but anybody who understands everything there is to know about this song has learned a whole lot, all right? This comes out of the McCarthy times, early 1950s. You have a refrain in it that you can sing with me, but you're not obliged to. Oh, the company's so good to me, there's no more Reds in the union. I'm as respectable as can be, there's no more Reds in the union. My wages, they are up so high, my family's starving, so am I. But sooner than complain, I die, there's no more Reds in the union. Oh, I'm paid the lowest wage on earth, there's no more Reds in the union. I'm paid exactly what I'm worth, there's no more Reds in the union. I think the company is fair, they speed me up, but I don't care. My kids complain, but I don't dare. There's no more Reds in the union. We never talk of workers' rights. There's no more Reds in the union. They tell us that it leads to fights. There's no more Reds in the union. Our leaders, they have always said that folks that talk like that are red. So we listen to the boss instead. There's no more Reds in the union. Each year we have a swell affair, there's no more Reds in the union. The bosses and their friends are there, there's no more Reds in the union. They give us food, they give us beer, but one thing does seem mighty queer. We eat that good, but once a year, there's no more Reds in the union. Not supposed to break your nose.
I stood on this stepstone when school days was o'er, long for the time to go by. Now that it's gone, I stand here tonight, bid this old stepstone goodbye.
Goodbye to my stepstone, goodbye to my home. God bless the ones that I leave with a sigh. Fields will be whitening and I will be gone to ramble this wide world alone. Stone at eventide now, and the wind whistles by with the moan. Now that it's gone, I stand here tonight. Goodbye to my stepstone at home.
Goodbye to my stepstone, goodbye to my home. God bless the ones that I leave with a sigh. Fields will be whitening and I will be gone to ramble this wide world alone.
It's hard to be parted from those that we love when reversals and fortune have come. The world's strongest heartstrings are broken and plain with the absence of loved ones and home.
Goodbye to my stepstone, goodbye to my home. God bless the ones that I leave with a sigh. Fields will be whitening and I will be gone to ramble this wide world alone.
See, let's try one of, well, Woody Guthrie's old Robin Hood Bandit song. See if it's still in my head. If you gather round me, children, a story I will tell about pretty boy Floyd, the outlaw. Oklahoma knew him well. 'Twas in Oklahoma City, no. 'Twas in the town of Shawnee on a Saturday afternoon. His wife beside him in the wagon, and into town they rode. A deputy sheriff approached them in a manner rather rude, with vulgar words of language that Ms. Floyd overheard. Well, pretty boy grabbed the log chain, the deputy grabbed his gun, and in the fight that followed, he laid that deputy down. He took to the trees and timbers to lead a life of shame. Every crime in Oklahoma was added to his name. Yeah, he took to the trees and timbers down by the river shore, but pretty boy found a welcome at every farmer's door. There's many a starving family, the same old story told, how the outlaw paid the mortgage and saved their little home. Or there's tale of a stranger who stopped to beg a meal, and underneath the napkin slipped a $1,000 bill. 'Twas in Oklahoma City upon one Christmas day, come a whole carload of groceries with a note to say. Or you say I am an outlaw, you say I am a thief, well here's some Christmas dinners for the families on relief. Now as through this world you ramble, there's a lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. And as through this world you ramble, and through this world you roam, you won't ever find an outlaw drive a family from its home.
And there you go. There you go. There you go. Fading up into talking here. Utah Phillips from this album called Free Speech, How to Make Speech. Very strong in his IWW convictions. The IWW, of course, is an interesting phenomenon of history. And of course, most young Americans nowadays don't even know about, and Pete Seeger talks about this too, how threatened everyone was by communism, how incredibly threatened during the 40s and 50s. And so when unionized, when in those days when people wanted to, especially in the 40s, 30s and 40s, when people wanted to unionize, it was a socialist thing. You don't unionize. You don't go against management. That and so many, many other things that precipitated this incredible feeling of insecurity in the 40s and 50s. And America was very, very much different when it became a situation where those people that we bring in, the immigrants and all those kinds of folks, and sons and daughters of immigrants were chastised for their beliefs in this country. Oh, my goodness. So there you go, Utah Phillips, and he does Woody, and he does everything. Joe Raphael and his song about the home and the world and where we're all at. Oh, my goodness. Liza Gilkison on Red House Records has a brand new album out called The Nocturne Diaries. Liza Gilkison, this is a great song. I love this song.
In the morning, the dogs are barking, birds are singing. New day dawning, I'm so worried about everything. And thank God I'm breathing, and I still got my wedding ring. But time is fleeting, I'm so worried about everything. And oh, Eliza, you try so hard, you don't see nothing. Blue horizon, you're expecting rain. Lift your eyes and you just might find you see something good. Eliza, little Liza. Oh, Eliza, little Liza. Swing around.
Eliza Gilkison, who has so many, many albums out on Red House Records. And, of course, her dad was Terry Gilkison, who was with the Modern Folk Quartet. And I believe that was Dave Guard's group after he left the Kingston Trio. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I might be off, but I know that one of Dave Guard's groups, after he left the Kingston Trio, was involved in the soundtrack for that big epic movie, however inaccurate it may have been, called How the West Was Won. Had 23 big stars in it or something like that. Came out in the early 60s. And Terry Gilkison was a part of that Modern Folk Quartet. And I think Dave Guard was in that. I'm pretty sure he was. Terry Gilkison also wrote Look for the Bare Necessities, the Simple Bare Necessities. And actually, Eliza Gilkison, his daughter, recorded that on a live album. But her catalog is really amazing. She's part of that whole Lucy Kaplansky, John Gorka thing, you know, with Red House. And they're pretty amazing. And this last album called Nocturne Diaries, which we just heard a couple of cuts from, is really, really, really a good album. She's so diverse in her styles and everything. Eliza Gilkison. Ready? And we'll hear at least one more cut from that album in the second hour. This hour is over with, but we got two more hours left to go. Inland Folk is a production of Northwest Public Radio on the campus of Washington State University. I'm your host, Dan Maher. Email me at D as in Daniel, M-A-H-E-R, at WSU.edu. Love to respond and get back to you and all that kind of thing. You can call me at 509-332-5047. All righty, we're going to be back for the second hour of the show. You just hold your horses because we are coming back. You hang on, hang on, hang on up because we're coming back. Hang on up. Cheers.